This is the audiobook version of The Adventure of Alex and Air, written by Marin, narrated by Sebastian, music by Kevin. The Adventure of Alex and Air. How a mighty knight and his unicorn mare helped a snowman find his broom, which was stolen by a witch. A long time ago, in the kingdom of elves, wizards, and witches, there lived a knight whose name was Sir Alex. His faithful unicorn mare, Air, had a nickname, Fanfare. On her back, there was a saddle and harnesses, ropes, axes, and sticks. The knight had only a sword, a spear, and a shield. He had left behind his possessions, his land, his castle, and even his tent. So the knight and his unicorn mare slept in a field, wherever they went. Once, just before the end of the year, Sir Alex awoke in the middle of the night and said,
"All right, Fanfare, be ready. I had a dream, and my dream insisted that tonight we have to go there."
"It's not fair," said the mare. "I'm still sleepy. Plus, it's so dark you need a degree in geography and knowledge in math to find the path."
The knight was aware he had a faithful but obstinate mare, so he replied firmly and fast,
"Dear Fanfare, you do not need a degree to go from point A to point B. You just need to open your eyes, step your feet, and follow the cuckoo's flight. The moon is full and the night is bright. Please don't be a fool. Let us go. Things will be all right."
"Do you think I care?"
said Air, whose nickname was Fanfare.
"That the moon is full and the night is bright? Also, where is there? And although delightfully faithful, I would like to know before we go, what are we looking for?"
"I will tell you my dream, and we will work as a team," whispered the knight into the mare's ear. "But you will not hear it from the horse's mouth. I dreamt that far, far away south, there is a mobile house with a witch living in it, and maybe a mouse. Somewhere in the dwelling, in the corner of an oval room, a witch has hidden the broom, which was taken from a snowman I built as a child."
"What a dream! Wild, wild!"
nickered Air, who was also called Fanfare.
"It sounds thrilling, and now I'm ready to go, even to nowhere."
"Wait, wait! The dream is only a bait. I'll add the story to the plate,"
said Sir Alex.
"You just listen. The snowman I built as a child is still in my mind, so soft, so jolly, and so very kind. When his broom disappeared, he simply melted from sorrow. Before my friend turned into a bucket of water, I made him a promise. No bother, I told him. I will leave my possessions, my land and my castle, but I will bring you back your broom. Oh, why do it? Here is one more reason. My dream said that the snowman will be with kids, not only in winter, but in every season. I always keep my childhood creation with me. He is the water that sloshes in the bucket, which stays in my sack. I won't even let a splinter of wood fall off the bucket until we find the broom. Let's zoom. Let's go on the track."
"Just one question, if I dare,"
said Air, who was also called Fanfare.
"Who stole the broom?"
"What I saw from my second floor bedroom," answered Sir Alex. "In the middle of the night, when the cuckoo's cooing awoke me, was the shape of a witch taking flight with two broomsticks. What happened? Exactly 12, the cuckoo for my grandfather's clock popped out to announce the hour. The bird witnessed the theft, but she was stuck to the clock and couldn't give chase. so she gave me a clue instead. She said it is written on a white oval rock. Let's go and start the race.
The question is...
Air, who was also called Fanfare, continued,
What does the clue say? Which? Where to look? Left or right? If we at least know the colour of the broom handle, our search will be much easier to handle.
Sir Alex answered,
Don't worry, we will follow the hint the clock cuckoo gave me. I released her from my grandfather's clock, and now she is free, ready to help, and eager to fly. Also, when we talked before I left my castle, the cuckoo said we must start the quest on the night of the dream. She is already here, and she will guide our team. Let's follow the clue. First, we must find an old bearded elf who lives in a fort behind a squeaky blue door and who has a black cat that is neither thin nor fat.
They started tracking the cuckoo, which was zooming above Sir Alex's head through meadows and fields and winding roads, down valleys, up hills, passing pastures, farms and mills, in sunny weather and cold, meeting people young and old, through rain and blizzards, chatting with farmers, children and wizards, all the while looking for the squeaky blue door. One sunny day, in the middle of May, just when they ran out of food, the knight and the unicorn stopped at the end of a trail and knocked on a blue door to ask for some bread, a handful of hay, and maybe some corn. The squeaky door opened with a whoosh, and behind it appeared an old bearded elf. In his hands was a cat that was neither thin nor fat. As happy as a clam, Sir Alex gave him a smile that, according to Air, was as broad as a mile. The knight told the elf in brief the snowman's story about the thief, and the old bearded elf was excited to help. He gave him some bread, hay and corn, and a soup made of kelp. Most importantly, he gave him directions from the high narrow window of his old stone fort. Sir Alex and Air, his unicorn mare, who was also called Fanfare, followed his order. First they crossed a meadow at the edge of the elf's property. After that, they conquered a desert. Then they braved a thick and almost impassable forest, in the middle of which were three ponds in a row. They were known as the sibling ponds, or the red, green and white ponds. The cuckoo reminded Sir Alex and Air that the elf had said to stop at the first pond and fish, but to catch and release, till they seized a talking red fish shrimp.
The fish shrimp,
prompted the cuckoo,
is bewitched. It will be wrapped in a fisherman's net. You will have to remove it to get rid of the charm.
They followed closely the words of the elf. They walked for a few days. When they'd reached the first pond, they both caught and released and caught and released, doing no harm and having no rest for a week. On the seventh day, Sir Alex finally yelled,
Fanfare, this fish shrimp is talking. We must listen.
The creature called to the beach and started to whisper.
You must first know our story, spluttered the fish shrimp. A long time ago, these three little ponds were three little kingdoms, full of laughs, joy, and glory. Surrounded with love, there happily lived three little siblings. My name is Jeer, and I was the princess of the Red Realm. One night, while the siblings were in a sleep very deep, an old grumpy witch, flying very fast with two broomsticks, turned me into something that is neither shrimp nor fish. And instead of a kingdom, I, like my siblings, awoke in a pool. People call it the Red Pond. By the way, it would be cool if you could do me a favor. Bring a green turtle down to the second pond. Sir Alex said,
"First, let me cut you out of all this."
The fish shrimp kept her fins close to her body. The unicorn mare put her right hoof on one side of the net, and Sir Alex gently pulled Gia out, like a professional vet.
"It's so nice that we met," the mare said.
Just as the fish shrimp disappeared, a princess, all dressed in red, was lying in her place. And of the red fish shrimp, there was simply no trace. The princess opened her hand. On her palm sat a shiny turtoad, quietly blinking on a handful of sand. The princess gave the turtoad to Sir Alex, who jumped on the back of the mare, and off they both went, disappearing slowly in the still evening air. Although the woods were dense and there was no sign, no leading line or major road to the second pond, the mare used her brain, heart and hooves to prove to Sir Alex that she was an excellent, trustworthy mate, ready for flight or ready to fight, willing just as much as the knight to change the snowman's unfortunate fate. That's why Air, the mare, also known as Fanfare, kept the cuckoo's flight always in sight, pursuing her faster than a hare. In a while between branches, bushes, tree trunks and leaves, the two of them noticed the soft surface of water on the second pond's brim.
"We have arrived,"
declared the faithful mare.
"Whoa!"
exclaimed the knight.
"So picturesque here, I bow to the lake. I am so excited, I almost shake. Let me release our green friend first. As you can see, it's dying of thirst."
Sir Alex put the turtoad on the water to float, and out of it, in a short fluffy coat, a young princess popped up. She blinked twice and cleared her throat.
"It's nice to meet both you guys. Thank you for breaking that spell I was living under, as you can tell. I'm Aya, the princess of the Green Domain. Thank you again. Now you can journey ahead. I know that your quest is not over quite yet. Please place the little red feather on the surface of the pond number 3. And don't lose that ring, for it belongs to a king."
The cuckoo asked to carry the plume, and off they went, still chasing the broom. The knight and the mare, with faces determined and no sign of despair, they went through the thicket, crawling, sliding, creeping, helping each other with hands and legs, and sometime with harnesses, ropes, axes and sticks. Hours passed, days, probably weeks. The last swathe of bushes, the last patch of frond, and suddenly a calming smell of water. Here was the third pond. When they passed a snail house, the cuckoo shrieked a few words like a command.
"Wherever you are, on water or land, rally together."
She opened her beak and released a red feather. It fluttered down slowly, dancing in the air, and lit on the ground with a gentle flare. Right at that moment, hundreds of quills gathered together from neighboring hills. They cuddled and they snuggled on the beach of the lake, until the whole cluster turned into a gracious, beautiful swake. Out of it, a king appeared, all dressed in white, on a throne of light, with a scepter in hand and a ring on his thumb. His Royal Highness graciously bowed in front of Sir Alex and his mare Air, and sighed rather gently.
"I am King Sully. Pond number 3 was my kingdom long time ago. You just made me free so I can visit my sisters, the princesses of the other domains. Thank you for killing the spell. You two did it amazingly well."
And in this instant, out of the blue, the cuckoo appeared. In its beak was the clue. The king took the white oval rock and told the knight and the mare that their guide, the cuckoo, must crown this incredible quest with a non-stop flight back for a last visit
to the grandfather's clock chest. The sovereign washed the little white rock and peered at the tiny, near illegible text.
"What's next?"
asked the mayor.
"Once back in the clock, in the dead of the night,"
the young king read,
"the cuckoo must coo very loud, so loud a cry that miles and miles away, Sir Alex and Eyre will catch its song here, at the Sibling Pond shore. This enjoyable sound has the power to unlock the door."
"What door?"
demanded the curious unicorn mare. The knight answered fast.
"The giant snail house we just passed must be the movable home for the clue. I knew I would get it,"
Sir Alex rejoiced.
"Let me tie up my shoe and I'll continue to listen."
"One more thing,"
the king said in a gentle voice.
"You must enter the house.
Don't be afraid.
Just one grumpy old witch lives there, with her little pet mouse, in the corner of an oval room. You'll find the snowman's missing, or rather stolen, broom."
The knight and the mare stayed in front of the snail house. The cuckoo flew back. And at midnight, at exactly 12, Sir Alex and Eyre, his faithful mare, heard the coo. They also heard the door unlocking. In the morning, they entered the shell. The dwelling was dark, stuffed to the brim with hundreds of bags of boxes and tools.
"Oh,"
the mayor said,
"it's awfully dim, it's messy and smelly. How about I place my hoof at the door to let the light in? You take your armor, enter this spiral place, and you find a corner of an oval room."
"Well, I was promised I will find not only the corner, but the broom,"
answered the knight. He put on his buckler and entered the house. A mouse squeaked and ran out. Then there was some noise and some racket, and an old grumpy witch darted away with no broom in hand. After some more noise and some more racket, Sir Alex appeared at the entrance with half a helmet, half his pants, and half of his jacket.
"In a few words," laughed the mayor, "I have never seen such a comical sight. This is the world's funniest costume."
"Everything's all right," reported the knight. "In my hand, it's a broom."
He took the bucket from his raggedy sack, threw the broom inside, and after the splash and the crack, a snowman, Sir Alex's childhood creation, suddenly came into view.
"Phew, finally you are back. Quester's conundrum is over. Kids will have you forever."
In unison shouted the mighty Sir Alex and Eyre, his unicorn mare, who was also known as Fanfare. The knight and the snowman hugged. What a happy end to a wicked affair. But if you happen to visit the kingdom of elves, wizards and witches, for whatever reason, you may see a soft, jolly and very kind snowman playing with kids in every season. This has been the audiobook version of The Adventure of Alex and Eyre. Written by Marin, narrated by Sebastian, music by Kevin, production copyright 2018 by Fontreol.com. The end.